from the place where the good guys always dress in black. All right, everybody, welcome to Ring Respect Radio. I am Bobby Munson, joined as always with my co-host, my video bro, Papa Smokes. And we want to thank our special guest at this time. He is the stretcher, Robert Martyr. Welcome to Ring Respect Radio, sir.
How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you for being a guest at this time. Papa Smokes and I have been watching some of your work as of late, seeing you a couple appearances on MLW Fusion Television, which caught our attention. We've been doing a lot of reviews and recaps. And Bob Smokes himself was talking very highly of you on our last show about the match that you had with King Mo there and everything like that. We thought we'd reach out and get you to join the show. We get do a little interview with you, talk to you about your career and some of the things that led you up to this point of it so far.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So starting on the topic of MLW Fusion there, we've seen a couple appearances. You versus Calvin Tankman in episode 111, and then with King Mo in 129. Were there any other times you've worked with MLW yet so far, or was this your first venture into working with them?
This was actually my first time working with either one of them, especially King Mo. I had been in locker rooms with Tankman before, but this was the first time we had ever gotten in the ring together.
Okay. Perfect. Where did some of your career start out? Where were some of the first companies that you've worked for so far?
Say that one more time.
Oh, so what were some of the companies prior to MLW that you've wrestled for? Where are some of your mainstays in the business right now?
Limitless Wrestling, which is a promotion that's really, really booming right now. Limitless Wrestling, Action Wrestling in Georgia is something I've really done a lot of good work there. And Paradigm Pro Wrestling is something I've done a lot. Calvin Tankman actually came from Paradigm Pro Wrestling, such as many others. So it's really cool. Myron Reed as well.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, you'd sent us a few matches to watch over. Got to say, wasn't too familiar with Action Wrestling or UWFI at PPW, but man, after especially seeing the stuff in PPW, UWFI, very excited about what we saw there. Very combat style based and point based, which we loved absolutely watching. I thought your match with Dominic Guarini was phenomenal in every sense of the word. Tell us a little bit more about your work there and maybe a little bit more about that company, but just out of interest of how they run things in their ring.
So Myron Reed is actually currently the Paradigm Heavyweight Champion. So he's been their guy for a while. As far as the style, UWFI comes from the original UWF that was created by Satoru Sayama, or the original Tiger Mask. And that entire, I guess that entire rule set basically created modern MMA in Japan. It's the reason why Pride Fighting Championships was a thing, because the guys from the original UWF and the UWFI, they basically took the rules and just made a little bit of changes. And that's how modern MMA was born. So that whole rule set, that whole point system is really exciting because it's very non-traditional. It's very, combat sports based, amateur wrestling, catch wrestling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, you know, Muay Thai, anything you want to put in there. It's really again, not to make a pun out of it, but a catch as catch can of styles. And it's really becoming Paradigm's mainstay. Paradigm has been around, I want to say, since 2014 or 2015, and they've been doing a lot of stuff in Southern Indiana. Some of the best wrestling I've watched. I was a fan when I started. So, Paradigm Pro Wrestling is doing some great stuff, especially on IWTV, which is the Independent Wrestling Network.
Perfect, man. Bob Smokes,
I wanted to say thanks a lot for coming on the show. First of all, Robert, just loving having you on Ring Respect Radio. Secondly, I after watching some of your matches in Florida there, I wanted to say that I'm really impressed with your scientific wrestling style, as we used to call it in the 70s and 80s, the scientific style. Really, really well trained, obviously an amateur background and all that. How did you come to meld the styles of amateur wrestling with pro wrestling?
So obviously, you know, it's no secret that amateur wrestling has had a rich history in pro wrestling. You know, obviously Kurt Angle and, you know, man, I can name so many guys that people don't even know that were phenomenal amateur wrestlers. But when I started wrestling at 14, I had just taken up amateur wrestling. So while I was doing pro wrestling and learning that craft, I was also doing amateur wrestling. So there were days that, you know, I'd have an amateur match at 1 p.m. and then later in the night I'd be wrestling at 8. So, you know, it really came hand in hand with me as far as it wasn't just I was an amateur wrestler, then I went into pro wrestling. I was doing both at the same time. But I guess my goal has been using amateur wrestling as a tool to basically enhance, you know, technical wrestling, because there's so many, if you watch a lot of World of Sport, the British stuff, it's beautiful work, beautiful, beautiful work, beautiful style, very smooth, very crisp. But if you take the ruggedness of amateur wrestling and use those transitions and add that to that World of Sport style, I think it's a style nobody's done. So I've been working hard to advance on that.
Really awesome.
Yeah, and I know on social media recently, you had posted a picture of yourself from a couple of years ago compared to today. Looks like you've been through a very heavy regimen in order to get yourself in the tip-top shape that you're in. Talk a little bit about that. What kind of regimen did you do in order to get yourself prepared for the ring as of today?
So that photo that you're referring to is from about 2 years ago. And that was my senior year of high school, and I was in the worst shape of my life. I had just wrestled in the finals of regionals for Florida in my in my state, and basically I had shot in my opponent. I had taken a double leg shot and I pulled my hamstring, and through that I injured my back. So I was injured, I was hurt, and I just, you know, I didn't lift any weights. But the regimen I eventually followed, I took it from Davey Richards' regimen. He had posted it on Twitter, and I started doing the deck of cards workout that, you know, every, you know, grappler has to do, which is basically you take a deck of cards, obviously, and let's say you have an ace, you're going to be doing however many hearts you have on the card, and you just keep going to the deck of cards is through, and then you do it twice more. So I did that off workout. So let's say 3 hearts was 15 burpees. So, and I would just do that. And I lost 20 pounds originally, and then I worked my way up, and then COVID hit, unfortunately. So all of the gyms were closed, and I wouldn't let myself get back in that shape. So I just ran 6-7 miles almost every day, 6-7 miles just to keep shedding weight. And then, you know, just doing home workouts with my dad. And that's what got me into that real good shape. And once everything opened up, I hit the gym hard. And here I am. I lost, I think 45 pounds in total. Yeah. 45. Jesus. Now that I think about it, that's crazy.
Well, that's really incredible, man. You did mention about the COVID shutdown being a bit of a setback. How did that set back your career? What kind of effects did that have on your in-ring abilities and being available for bookings at the time?
So, believe it or not, my big, not resurgence, but me coming up in the ranks in wrestling actually happened during the COVID era. So as soon as things started to open up just slightly, I was in rings training. I had found a way. I knew a friend that had a ring in his garage. So I trained there. And then, you know, it just kept going and going until Paradigm actually sent out a flyer saying, if you have amateur rack bound or some type of combat sports background, we are hosting a UWFI Contender Series tournament. Or some type of show, basically showcasing these wrestlers that have legit backgrounds. And I had sent in my application, and this is when, you know, COVID was for real. Like, nobody could leave, nobody was training, everybody was locked down. And they had done it in what they call in the arena in Jeffersonville. And it was what? Everybody was masked up. Like, there was no people. It was just the ring and just film. And that's how I got my big break, was wrestling a guy by the name of Matthew Justice. And that happened during the COVID era. And ever since then, since COVID happened, I consistently wrestled more and more. I think I've traveled to at least 10 different states since October of last year to now, which is, I never thought I would be doing that a year from now. A year ago.
So with travel in the States right now, how's that working out? Is everything kind of generally opened up now or slowly starting to open up? Because it is a much different story here in Canada, especially where we're from. So I'm kind of curious a bit more about that.
So I've heard, you know, I have a lot of friends that are wrestlers in Canada, and it's bad. You guys can't do anything, and I feel for you guys, you know. And also there's that 5-year ban that everybody's terrified of. So like, yeah, again, I feel for you guys. And over here, it's everything's starting to open up. It's almost back to normal at this point, as far as wrestling goes. You know, I don't know if you're too familiar with the independent scene, but there's a good Joey Janela from AEW has a big show every year called Spring Break. And that sold out like capacity. So that was around 600, almost 700 people that sold out. So, you know, that's essentially what we were getting before the COVID era, as far as the big shows. So it's almost back to normal. Flights are cheap because nobody's flying. So, you know, I could get a trip to New York for $60. So it helps me. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I believe that show that you're mentioning there, we've had a few of the guys that work in our area that have been down to Joey's show before, in particular, Michael Richard Blaze, who was a mainstay down there about a couple of years ago. But I mean, again, yeah, a lot of the guys out here, they can't travel. We can't do shows. I mean, we have a company of our own, Prairie Pro Wrestling, that, I mean, we've been grounded for a year and a half. We can't do anything even. I mean, we could do a no fans thing, but again, there's a lot of travel for a lot of different wrestlers, especially when you live in such a sparse area and everything, it's just financially, it's not there. So I'm glad to see that it is happening for you in the States. I'm glad to see that you're able to get traveling a little bit more and getting through with that. And I mean, as a fan, I'm really excited to see fans back in arenas as well too, because watching wrestling behind those closed doors, a little frustrating. Fans make it more exciting. I'm sure Papa Smokes could agree there. Anything else you want to add there, Papa Smokes?
No, it just, talking about COVID is just such a drag, because our company was just getting off the ground. Like you say, we've been closed for a year and a half now. The fans here are just salivating for some wrestling action, but by law, we can't even put it on yet. So we're not at the level that Florida's at yet, but hoping so, that it's kind of looking good for this summer at least, and keeping the fingers crossed.
Yeah, if I might add to that, like, honestly, it's weird because everyone's flocked to certain places because while COVID was really, really bad, nobody in the world could get out. Indiana was the spot. So that's why everybody flocked to Indiana. And now Jersey is opening up. So now everybody wants to go to, you know, New Jersey and wrestle there. And that's a big hot spot. And now Texas is opening back up. So Texas is a big hot spot. Any place that's, you know, a big hotspot has been a place that's opened or early that everybody wants to wrestle at, because everybody's so desperate. We'll be honest, desperate to wrestle, that they'll go any place you know they can go. So like Texas arenas that usually wouldn't sell out are selling out. So it's a weird, this whole era, this whole, you know, past year and a half year, it's been so weird. It's been such a drag because there's been so many promotions that were really getting off the ground, especially in the States, that were really starting to pick up, that just got hit with COVID. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. So unfortunately, COVID really did it to us, but, you know, we'll get back off the ground.
For sure. Speaking of the independent scene, have you ever ventured outside of the States for your work before, and where have you worked?
So as far as out of the States, I've unfortunately never wrestled. I've trained outside of the States. I've trained and I've actually trained in Canada. I don't know if you guys know of IWC, but I've trained over there at IWC in Canada and Quebec, I think. I think it's in Quebec. Okay. I'm not sure. Montreal. No, I'm sorry. Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal is Quebec.
Yeah. But sorry. But yeah, actually, now that I think about it, yes, it is. Please don't clip that.
All right, you got it. But,
I'm joking. You can put that in. But like, yeah. Honestly, unfortunately, I haven't wrestled outside of the States. I really wish I get that opportunity once everything finally opens up. There's so many promotions. There's so many regions, especially like, man, Canada was a goal of mine for since I started, honestly, because I would see Smash Wrestling. I'd see, you know, C4 and all these great promotions just, you know, packed out. And you know, guys like Mike Bailey, really the flag bearers of you know, Canadian independent wrestling, just having fantastic matches. And I wanted to be a part of that. So it really sucks that I haven't gotten to really get to work in Canada.
Well, if you do make your round through Canada, you know who to call. We'll set you up here in Saskatchewan for sure.
Absolutely.
Coming out our way. So. Papa Smokes, you want to take the floor for a minute?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was just thinking about going back to the COVID shutdown time. We all had a bunch of extra time on our hands. And I was going back through a lot of old archival wrestling footage from days gone by, which I always do anyway, but during shutdown I had a lot of extra time to do that. I'm guessing by watching your matches, Robert, that you also do that. It looks like you've watched a lot of the greats from the past. I see Lord Steven Regal in your style. I see the Harts, Owen Hart in your style. What kinds of old matches and old wrestlers do you like to watch when you go back into the archives?
For sure, my number one is Harley Race every single time. Race was my guy, and it still is my guy. He's my number one. I actually, if you watched that Ashton Starr match I had on Friday that I sent you guys, I'm wearing Harley's boots from 77. I got them custom made to be his boots that he wore against Jumbo Tsuruta in 1977, defending the NWA title in Japan for the first time. So like that Harley Race is number one. I love watching me some Bobby Eaton. Bobby Eaton is one of the best ever. Yeah. Eddie Gilbert, Arn Anderson, Magnum TA. I could talk about Tully Blanchard for forever. There's so many guys that I've during that COVID shutdown that I really sat down and started to appreciate. My biggest one that I found was Brad Armstrong. Brad Armstrong was one of the best ever that I've ever seen. He could go with anybody. And it sucks because the only little piece that he was missing was that just that charisma, but he was just such a good wrestler that it was almost hard to deny. Chavo Guerrero Sr. I watched him in Mexico. I found some old tapes of that. I could go on and on, guys, literally. There's so many guys that are so underappreciated, like Manny Fernandez. I don't know if you guys have heard of Manny Fernandez, the Raging Bull. That guy was the best. Nick Bockwinkel, Billy Robinson. Again, I could go on forever, but those guys have been the guys that have really sat down and appreciated and watched, especially when you see them in the shorter matches, not the 40-minute classics that were known. I'm trying to think of his name right now. Especially watching Arn's 5-minute matches in NWA, like 5 minutes, really, really, really short matches. But if you look at the quality of work that they get done in 5 minutes, it's ridiculous. Fit Finlay, especially Fit Finlay in his time in Germany. Classic stuff. Negro Casas from Mexico. I watch everything, man. I watch everything from Japan to Germany to Ireland. I've seen some Irish wrestling, some British wrestling, really anything I could get my hands off. I watch and study, and I can't tell you how many notebooks I have of just notes and notes and notes and notes of just matches.
You see, and that's all
good. So good to you. Oh, sorry, Bob.
Sorry, I was just going to say, folks, you go ahead, man.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to express appreciation about that. Bobby Munson and I, both big fans of vintage wrestling. We both kind of long for the old days in the state that the business is in now in some large areas. But really good to see a young guy such as yourself giving great respect to the great grapplers of the past and bringing that into your style for today. It gives me hope for the future of the business when a young guy like you is watching the good stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a testament to what you do too, because I mean, we caught your work on MLW Fusion, where you're in there in these quick matches with Tankman and King Mo. But what you did in that short period of time was enough to catch our attention, make us realize the kind of influences that you have, and how we wanted to be able to interview somebody that respects the business in the same way that we do as fans too.
And absolutely, I mean, honestly, you know, how can you not? There's so many things you can learn just by watching the people that came before you. And I know, especially with this era of wrestling, that the whole narrative is that it's the new kids on the block. We're the guys that are going to do the things that the guys before us didn't do, and we're going to change the wrestling business through that. And I respect that mindset, honestly, I do. But I think that the gap that people are missing nowadays, especially, is really just watching these classic matches, these guys that day in and day out put their souls into the matches. Every little thing, every little detail, every bit of intent that they would use in their matches is something that I wholeheartedly think is missing today. And that's what I try to emulate. I try to emulate the little stuff. I try to be good at the little stuff better than everybody else. And I think if I can do that, I'll be very successful. So
couldn't agree with you more. It definitely shows in your work. That's pretty much what I had for us today. Pop Smokes, any last questions that you have for Robert here?
No, I'm good, but it's been an extreme pleasure talking to you, Robert. Thanks for coming on our podcast, and best of luck in the future. We'll be watching you intently, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, we will let everybody know about you. Before we go, though, is there anything else you want to add, where people can find you next? Any matches you got coming up you want to mention on the show here today?
So you can catch me at Limitless Wrestling. We're doing a taping this weekend. Probably one of the biggest matches of my career. So we'll definitely watch out for that. But you can find me on Twitter at the Stretcher RM, and on Instagram at Death to Martyr. And yeah, man, I honestly, and if you're just a fan, if you don't even want to watch my work, if you're just a fan of good old professional wrestling, I post it on my Twitter all the time, breakdowns and things I like and enjoy. So if you're a fan of old wrestling too, make sure to check that out.
Awesome. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you for being on Ring Respect Radio. And we just want to tell everybody, go check out the work of Robert Martyr. Fantastic in-ring performer. Thank you very much, sir.
Breeze. Thank you.
When you go to the old saloon at the Dead South End, gonna find you a man there who wants to be your friend. If you dare to deny his wish, you'll be dead by dawn. So give him a drink and a smile and then move right on. Rednecks with white faces, don't go putting them down. Rednecks with white faces, they ain't no rodeo clowns. Had a dream last night where the earth began to shake. Saw a man that died on the end of a wooden stake. Gold and a dress of red. Saw a man with a stream of blood running down his head. Playing pool with a man in the top hat, tie and tails. Don't you dare to smile at some black fingernails. It might look like an easy mark, but he knows the score. One bite as pointed fangs, you'll be under the floor. Rednecks with white faces, don't go putting them down. Rednecks with white faces, they're no rodeo clown. sex with white faces. Don't go putting them down. Rednecks with white faces.